It's very hard to gauge your...
Last time. Just do it with energy. Yeah. Energy. A bit more energy. Here we go. Brits in the end zone. Let's go.
Hey, hey, let's go.
Brits in the end zone.
Come on, let's go.
Hello and welcome to Brits in the End Zone. A slightly unfamiliar voice for you probably. Adley here. I've been away for a while helping the Philadelphia Eagles with their offense. and now I'm back to help these boys out. It's a pleasure to be back. The first time we've done all four of us
the
in
band,
a long time.
The band, yeah. Back
Charles Greeny. How is everyone?
Brilliant. I'm glad to have you back.
Charles, he's come back from America, a married man of sorts. JP, nearly a married man.
Getting there, just
getting there.
Need a venue first.
One day there'll be a wedding.
Just one day,
it's just Greeny that's going to die alone.
And then the bachelor here, the only consistent on this podcast,
yeah. Travis Kelce,
with you every week.
It's a pleasure to be back. I'm very excited to be. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit out of the loop on NFL. I'm going to need a little bit of help from you guys. Little bit more out of the loop than usual.
Fair enough.
All I do know is that the Eagles haven't stopped winning.
Yeah, I think that's all you need to know.
Which is pretty exciting. So we are joined today by Jonathan DiMicelli, who's standing in for Charlie.
Is that how you pronounce it?
DiMicelli, I believe so. I can't hear myself, but as long as
DiMicelli's
convinced, everyone's fine. He's in there laughing, so he's having a good time. Let's kick off this week with our question of the week, which is, off the back of the royal engagement, Tory Smith tweeted, "I've never seen Prince Harry and CJ Wentz." Does he mean Carson Wentz, do you reckon?
Yeah, probably.
Unless he means CJ McCollum, the
I think
Portland
that's his Twitter handle, oh, okay. CJ Wentz.
At the same place and the same time. What other NFL lookalikes are out there? Can anyone think of any? Greeny, I'll kick off with you, I think.
All right, so I've actually got... I'm going to do two quick ones. One is one that Asemele, the player who plays for the Raiders, called out, which is brilliant, and it was that Derek Carr has a striking resemblance to Sid from Toy Story.
I thought he really does.
Especially
the
with the
burns
black t-shirt and the kind of skull on the, the skull on the shirt.
That's very true.
So that's a cracking resemblance. And the one I've gone with, not too dissimilar, I've gone with Matty Stafford, you know, 15 years down the line, Mikey from Recess.
Right. Once he's retired, stop the training.
I like that. I can see it.
Charlesy, what about you? Who's your one?
I was. I've recently just finished series two of Stranger Things, and Hopper, the policeman, absolute legend in the show, has an uncanny resemblance to Greg Olsen, the tight end for the Carolina Panthers.
It.
And it's once you see it, it can't be unseen because I kept calling him Greg when I was talking about him with Jade. I kept calling him Olsen. I couldn't remember his name.
That is a similar build. I see what you mean.
And the beard, and it's everything. It's so that's where. There we go.
Who do you think is cooler?
Cooler. I mean, Hopper's pretty awesome, but you know, it's a difficult.
They
question.
Had cool figurines of Stranger Things characters in the States. Did you see those?
We went to Target. There was a Stranger Things everywhere. Yeah. You spent all my spending money in there. But
all your spending
all my
money.
Pocket money.
All $15.
All of your pocket money out of your bum bag. JP, any lookalikes?
I've gone with Clay Matthews, the linebacker for the Packers. Uncanny resemblance to Triple H.
Yeah,
that's a great shout.
I was going to say that because I saw.
No, you weren't, Charles. Hey, come on,
it started already.
It just shows that it is a very good shout.
Oh, I've missed your straight talking,
but not good enough for you to have mentioned yourself.
Well,
you thought of it and thought,
too.
Nah, it's not great.
Well, because because it wasn't quite.
That's
as good
never
as my
stopped
Greg
you before.
I really miss this bickering.
Let's swiftly move on. Right, so I've got some interesting talking points from last week, which you're going to have to help me along with because I didn't see much of Red Zone. By much, I didn't actually see any of it. But that's why we're here on this podcast. You might wonder what I'm doing on this podcast with such little knowledge, but the answer is I bring them access to the engineers in the studios, and we're all friends. Case Keenum, I know him. He was on Hard Knocks. I quite liked him. Him and his wife seemed quite nice and down to earth. Anyway, apparently he got a penalty for taunting. He flicked the ball towards an opposition player. Greeny, what was that about?
Yeah, so it was they played on Thanksgiving against the Lions. And, you know, Case Keenum falls to the ground and he just kind of sits up and flicks the ball. And the refs call a flag for what he obviously appeared to be throwing the ball aggressively at the Lions player, which is one of the most absurd things ever.
God, he doesn't seem like an aggressive guy, does he?
No, he's, yeah, like you said, very down to earth.
Leave him alone. He's a nice guy. Okay, Matt Stafford, the Lions quarterback, apparently has only had 7 games in his 9-year career when a running back has gone over 100 yards.
That stat is mental.
That's it pretty tough crazy. Going for him, isn't it? Because they're relying on him.
That means he's kind of had to put on his back, you know, for the last 9 years. And I think he's got a stat of that he's thrown more yards before the age of 30 than Peyton Manning did. So it shows that although they've not made the playoffs, he's been a really important figure and
just
really
shows
carried
how
lines.
Poor their running backs have been as well. Like, Abdullah had huge hype coming out of the draft a few years ago. The Cardinals wanted to take him ahead of David Johnson.
Yeah.
And he just has disappointed week after week.
Yeah. They just need to sort their running game out and then they're Super Bowl contenders, maybe.
Well, I guess it's lucky that they had Megatron for so long because otherwise they would have had no one. I mean, that's an amazing stat. I mean, considering David Johnson did that, I'm pretty sure he did that more than 7 times last year. Like, to have that not do that in 9 years is just remarable.
I remember
they haven't sorted it out. In, like, you know, I know they drafted Abdullah, but
maybe they just don't know. Maybe they just think their run game's really good.
Yeah, just tweet this at the Lions GM.
No, I'm not sure if you're aware, but your run game's pretty bad.
At some point, they had like quite a good running back who it was called Jarvid Best, and then for concussions, he had to leave the NFL. But now he's a sprinter for St. Lucia in the Olympics.
Okay, so don't worry. You're not doing top three this week. Don't worry.
Fantastic useless fact. Nick Novak, the Chargers kicker, your team, Greeny. He got injured during the game. And I did see this. I saw that so the Chargers had to throw on fourth downs and then they turned to their punter. And I did see the little video on Twitter where the punter was missing the practice nets while warming up on the sidelines.
That was so funny.
I feel like I could get a kind of 20 to 30 yard field goal.
Oh, definitely.
That can't be hard. Yeah. So the net... That's even easier.
Yeah.
I mean...
And also, it's not like a punter is that far removed from a kicker. You're kicking a ball. I mean, it's not... Yeah. How you can miss...
The day I found out they weren't the same person, I was surprised.
I just don't understand why an NFL team... Like, you can only have one kicker on the roster. Why is no one else practicing?
Well,
In case someone gets injured during a game, why is your punter, who's got nothing else to do during the week, practicing field goals?
Punting.
It's probably got 24/7.
It's probably the
punting.
Water boy or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
And they do all they That's do is it's the kicker and the punter. They practice together. So just bloody practice together.
Just swap roles.
Yeah, just like one day a month. Just be like, should we have a go at the other one?
No.
Yeah. No, my foot is only made for punting.
Yeah.
There was a fight that broke out in the game between the Raiders and the Broncos. I didn't see much of that, but I heard about it. And Crabtree and, is it the Broncos corner, Talib?
Yeah, it was ridiculous because last season they had a huge fight after Talib ripped off Crabtree's gold necklace, which I'm amazed you're allowed to wear playing football. But anyway, he ripped it off of him, sparking a huge fight. This was last year. And then... going into the game, they were like, oh, will they remember what happened? And within about 5 minutes...
Oh, they remembered.
Within about 5 minutes, Tilly ripped off Crabtree's gold necklace again.
Oh, my God.
And they just beat the shit out of each other, swinging right, left, everywhere.
Is he not earning enough to buy his own necklace?
But Crabtree, before the game, taped down his chain.
Really?
Yeah. He taped it down and he still got it snatched off
so
of him.
Ridiculous.
And then Talib takes off the helmet and throws it at Crabtree. So it all got a bit ridiculous.
Oh my God.
There's a reason you didn't see it because it was on pay-per-view.
Oh, right.
Okay. He's saying took off Crabtree's helmet.
I just thought that was a joke.
Yeah, because he didn't take his own one off. He was keeping that protection.
Oh, absolutely.
It was those guys, it's come out that both of them are being suspended for 2 games each, which is really rare in the NFL that they suspend people that have already been ejected from games.
Good job.
No, I agree.
Like, grow up.
It should happen. Like AJ Green a few weeks ago did the exact same thing, didn't get suspended. So I'm glad they are actually now suspending people.
It is recurring.
It's essentially a 3-match ban because they missed essentially the whole of that game and plus 2 more, which is not unsubstantial for an NFL season that's only 16 games. It's almost a quarter of the season.
Yeah, I almost had a very similar incident this Sunday playing Sunday League football where a diving tackle and a guy tries to rip my Fitbit off, but very similar.
Yeah, I mean, except the Fitbit probably costs you more as a percentage of your what you own than that gold chain as a percentage of what Crabtree owns.
Yeah.
So really, in fact, you deserve to murder the man. I assume you didn't.
I'll throw my helmet at him.
Tell you who was Which throwing. One? Mohamed Sanu throwing touchdowns for the Falcons. What's that about?
It's amazing. Like in his career, he's thrown 6 passes, completed all 6 for 228 yards and 3 touchdowns with a perfect 158.3 passer rating.
Maybe the Browns should sign him up.
Absolutely, yeah. Get him in at quarterback.
What I love about the throw as well, not only was it an amazing throw, but he completely fumbled the snap.
He threw it in the air
to himself and then went, oh shit, and then just threw a better pass than any of the Jags or Browns quarterbacks have done this season.
That Julio performance there.
Oh my God.
Monster, wasn't it?
I picked Sanu as my wide receiver of the week. I should have picked him as my quarterback of the week. But there were two monster wide
receivers.
That's
the kind of insight that we're looking for in this podcast. Think outside the box.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I want to hear.
If you don't pick a non-quarterback for your quarterback this week, I'll be very disappointed.
You've got to go for one. There were some weird signs this week. I didn't know this until I read it here, even though it involves my team. So at the Bears-Eagles game, there was a Firefox, the internet browser, a Firefox logo sign, and that is supposedly meant to be Firefox, as in Fire John Fox.
What the hell
is happening?
I mean, it's like a very subtle Wenger out sign.
It is a bit, yeah. You know,
like passive aggressive.
Yeah. Arsenal fans get an aeroplane spraying the sky with Wenger out. They just get an internet emblem.
The Americans aren't normally known for their subtlety.
No,
so,
fair play to them.
There we go. Fletcher Cox, the absolute megastar defensive tackle for the Eagles, is being sued, though, for having sex with a man's wife and ruining his marriage. I didn't realise that you could be sued for that.
Yeah, I didn't know you could be sued for that.
I mean, not that I condone it in any way, that's dreadful, but I didn't know you could be sued for it.
Yeah, I think it's in the state of, only in the state of Philly or North Carolina, wherever the guy's from.
Pennsylvania, you mean?
Pennsylvania.
Sorry, yeah, Pennsylvania or North Carolina, wherever the woman's from.
Truly living up to his surname there. And Rams halt the Saints' winning run.
That's why he's on the podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
For those gags. Chris Kamara, the Saints running back. Rookie of the year? For those Ladbrokes adverts.
I mean, unbelievable, Jeff. He really is. Since Adrian Peterson left, he's the number one running back in fantasy in the league. And this is... whilst being second running back on the team behind Mark Ingram.
Was there much talk about him coming out of the draft?
He was like in the fourth round.
Not as much as some of the others. Funny you say that. I saw a stat the other day that the top 3 wide receivers that went, so that being Corey Davis,
Mike Williams,
and the Bengals, Ross.
John Ross.
They combined have 299 receiving yards this year. Kamara has 548 and he's a running back.
That's very impressive.
Jesus.
That's amazing.
He touched the ball like 11 times, got 2 touchdowns and 200 total yards.
The stat that I thought was incredible is that his yards per touch is 7.6, which is by far the most in the league. The second best, bear in mind, that is 5.4 or something. And that's
are boring me death.
No, but, death. No, but I mean, like, just but without him, he's a whole yard and a half better per touch than the next best player.
Gotta love those percentages.
not one percentage point got mentioned there, but there we go.
Swiftly moving on. JP, who's been shamed this week?
There's only one man in this room that's being shamed, and seeing that it was only between two.
I've got a feeling it might be me.
It's you, Charles. Yeah. I mean, Kareem Hunt. Firstly, being picked was a big no-no.
Disgusting.
I don't think that was a no-no. I think that was fair enough. But
17 yards and 11 carries. I mean, what's going on with Hunt?
Yeah.
Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah.
18 yards on 5 receptions.
I don't even know how that
It was
happens.
Those 5 receptions that even got him the points in our 0.5 PPR leagues. And then Vernon Davis with the big fat... 0.
Yeah.
I mean, I had him on my fantasy team. Yeah. That screwed me over. But
I was actually going for a record of the lowest number of points.
Yeah, I think you've done quite well.
How did Dalton do?
Dalton did all right, okay. But he was playing the Browns, so it doesn't count.
He's ruined my perfect shitting the bed team That was that's as bad. About
absolutely.
As bad as...
So, Charlesie, you've been shamed,
and you went very safe as well. You went safe,
yeah, which makes that shamey all the more just.
I feel very shamed. I feel ashamed.
Well, to make it up to us, you're stepping in for 1 week only to do well. What is Dan's top three? I don't know what you're going to call it this week, Charles. But take it away. Make it a good one, and
And I'm going to sit back.
What I'm going to be talking about is footballers in the NFL who have come from very tough upbringings. Current NFL players, obviously, I won't mention Michael Orr, who the film Blindside is about, which is amazing story. You should check it out if you haven't seen it.
Is your top five just the shittiest upbringings that they've had, and they just get worse and worse?
Pretty much.
Also, did you just say I'm not going to mention someone and then mention their name?
I'm not going to divulge all the details.
The time you took to explain that little passage.
This is only getting worse. It's only getting worse.
Just the names, moving please, on. Charles.
No. Number three is Demaryius Thomas. He came from a life of illegal substance abuse and homelessness. When he was in sixth grade, the police raided his house and arrested his mum, and he ended up going from...
PC.
This is like Jesh Fries to Ivanovic. No.
You're missing the Champions League final.
I know you won't be playing in the final.
I choose to see to go from such adversity to make something of yourself.
Vibes.
And they moved homes four times in foster care before his mum finally adopted him.
But coming in at moving homes five times.
Then Jimmy Graham, he's now worth well over 20-odd million. But at one point, he believed he was worth less than $98 because that's how much his father refused to pay his mother for child support each month. And because of that, the mum dropped him off at child services, and he then, when he was homeless...
This is harrowing.
Got beaten up by a group of teenagers, and when he called his mum to complain, she hung up on him. And he ended up finding his way into the Abundant Life Fellowship Church when he got adopted, and then helped him develop into an athlete. But
this should be a 30 for 30 on ESPN.
And number one is Bruce Irvin of the Seattle Seahawks. As a sophomore in high school, his grades weren't good enough to let him play football. So he dropped out of high school and ended up living a misguided life on the streets for a couple of years. He was dealing drugs, went to prison.
We've got to call out. We're not laughing yet.
I'm laughing at how sad this is. Mental.
No, I just don't think it's... Remember,
I like that you've chosen your opportunity.
Just remember, every one of these stories ends brilliantly.
Greeny, this is only making yours look so much better.
I'm so I find this interesting.
Carry on, Charles.
Okay. Well, anyway, after a friend of his said, you know, you've got the talent, don't let it waste. He turned his life around and ended up.
Although that was the inspiring speech. Don't let it waste.
I think you're blessed with something that a lot of dudes don't have. Go to school and whatever you do, don't look back. I think that was the quote. I know that was the quote. but he actually then went to college, couldn't play football at the first one, but transferred and ended up being a first round pick for the Seahawks.
Great. Thanks for that, Charles. Uplifting as ever. Grinny, are you back next week for Grinny Don's top three?
Cheer up a bit.
Don't just pencil me and put it in permanent marker.
Okay. Quick time to mention our sponsors, Halftime Snacks, Zing Zing, MSG-free Chinese. MSG doesn't really sound that bad after that top three, but if you want to avoid it, then go for 20 bites to get 20% off. MSG-free Chinese. Looking ahead to next week's preview, what's going on? Is the name of the game? No, it's not. Anyway.
Yeah, you haven't played you haven't played this segment yet, have you?
Yeah, he has.
What?
Yeah,
we brought this in about 10 weeks ago.
The
Jags and the Colts are a matchup at 6 o'clock on Sunday. Don, who would you say is the banker in this game from a fantasy point of view?
Well, there's not many offensive players here that I think could be worthy. Fournette probably wouldn't fit into this. So I'm going to go TJ Yeldon. I think Fournette's got a foot injury. The Colts do have a decent rushing defense, but I think there's opportunity there. He's a pass catching back. Could be low scoring, but Yeldon.
Okay. JP, on the flip side, who's the tanker in this game?
What is it in Jacksonville?
The game is
in
Jacksonville.
It is. We shut them out 23-0 away.
I mean, that pretty much answers my tank. I mean,
are you going to pick the Jags defense again?
That was very much tongue-in-cheek, and you took it very literally. But, I mean, like, T.Y. Hilton, you probably played last week, thought he had a great matchup against the Titans. He stunk again, and it's not going to get any better this week.
I went away from NFL for a while, and Tom, my partner in crime, traded a lot of our players for some pretty shit players. I think T.Y. Hilton's one of them now.
Yeah.
We have. He didn't do much.
You essentially traded away Michael Thomas for T.Y. Hilton.
You got Gurley.
You got
well.
Gurley, the number McCoy one running back. Gurley.
All right. But we lost Shady McCoy, who I like.
Yeah.
Anyway, whatever. That's I came back to my screen and suddenly saw that half the best players were gone. But anyway.
Still good enough to beat Charles this week.
Less than a point.
If only we could play him every week. Charles, who's your cheeky wanker in the Jags-Colts game?
Mine is fourth-round rookie, Dede Westbrook, the wide receiver.
Like
he's only played two games in the NFL but after being injured at the beginning of the season, but I think he's getting more and more into it. He didn't quite have the 200-yard game he predicted for himself, but...
When is he going to hit 200 yards?
This week.
Does he play for the Jags?
He plays for the Jags, yeah. Right. Sorry.
He's a rookie wide receiver for the Jags.
He is indeed. And I think this week he will have a 200-yard game.
You heard it here first.
There we go.
The later kickoff, 9:05 UK time on Sunday. Sees the Chargers against the Browns. Greeny against JP. JP, who is the banker for you?
I mean, firstly, how funny would it be? Everyone going like crazy about the Chargers. They're doing really well. How typical would it be?
This was the win.
Well, how did you get your first win last season?
Well,
your
first,
one and only
yeah.
win was against the Chargers last year.
First win and only win.
Hugh Jackson's only win.
Yeah.
The banker for this one, I mean, Hunter Henry was getting involved last week. We know that the tight end position, the Browns can't really defend it. So, I mean, Hunter Henry is your banker.
Okay. And Charles, who's the tanker?
Recently... Corey Coleman has been kind of getting back up in the good books in recent times. But I think with Casey Hayward, he will have a very quiet game. And also with the re-emergence, welcome back to Josh Gordon, who will be playing for the first time in a couple of
he
years.
Will. Wow.
And so
exciting
I think that will take away some of the target share. So I think Coleman is very much a... droppable, well, not, you know, benchable asset.
And Greeny, some inside knowledge of your Chargers. Who's the cheeky pick in this
yeah,
game?
So all eyes will be on Josh Gordon and his return, but what they won't see, what they won't anticipate, is ex-Brown Travis Benjamin with a 65-yard touchdown coming your way.
Okay, okay. It's almost like it came bold to you in
shout.
A dream. At 9:25 in the UK, the Saints meet the Panthers. Over to you, Charles, for the banker.
The Saints' defence had been very good in the secondary, mainly because of first-round pick Marshawn Lattimore. He was injured last week, and the Rams had quite an effective passing game. And he might well be out again this week. And if so, Devin Funchess, the number one wide receiver for the Panthers, is very much one to start.
What a ridiculous name. And the tanker, Greeny?
He didn't have such a great game last week, but a great season so far. I've gone with Ingram because I think Luke Kuechly is a good linebacker who will stuff the run.
Okay, JP, cheeky pick.
I've gone for a Ted Ginn revenge game playing
nice.
Against his old team, the Panthers. And as Charles said, their top two corners aren't going to be playing, so Ginn could hit a big touchdown.
Pop him in your
That's
team.
That's the other way around, isn't it? I said that the Saints quarterbacks aren't.
I got that the wrong way around.
Interpret it as you will, it's fine. In the late Sunday night
so,
game.
The Panthers will score more points,
yes.
So the Saints have to
there is
throw a lot
some
more.
Logic there
is some logic there, that makes sense.
Somewhere in there.
Yeah.
In the late Sunday game, you see the Seahawks play the future champs, the Eagles. Who's the banker, Greeny?
Yeah, Eagles have a great defense, but I see a bounce back game for Dougie Baldwin.
Ooh, okay, not going for an eagle. Okay, whatever. JP, tanker?
I've gone for Russell Wilson. He leads the Seahawks in carries, yards, and rushing touchdowns. I don't think Russell's the number one quarterback for fantasy overall. You know, if you got him the 10th round of your draft, you did unbelievably well.
Not as well as picking up Carson Wentz off the waiver wire, who's only a few points behind him in second place. So
I still think it's better.
These seem very personal things that are happening right now.
But I'm going to be starting Wilson this week, but it's just one about managing expectations. I think he's going to have a down game.
Maybe
but you
the
have
Lions should get Wilson as their running back.
Yeah.
And who's
or Blake
the cheeky
Bortles.
Pick, Charles?
The cheeky pick, I've got to go for an Eagle because they keep winning every... You know, they've 10-1 for the fourth time in their history, and all three previous times they were 10-1, they got to the Super Bowl, so pencil
but
it in
yet
now.
To win one?
I think they won the one in 1946 before the Super Bowl.
They never won one.
Before the Super Bowl existed. It was the championship.
Are we talking about the Eagles?
Yeah.
I think they've only made the championship twice. Never won the Super Bowl.
No, but this was before the Super Bowl existed.
There's a lot of different factors.
So they didn't win the Super Bowl. Yeah.
No, they won the league.
They've never won.
anyway,
who's your player, Charles?
Anyway, my player is Nelson Agholor. He's kind of become a bit forgotten behind Alshon Jeffrey of recent times, and he managed to get a very dodgy touchdown.
He did, didn't he? Off the Ajayi fumble.
Ajayi fumbled it into the end zone, and Agholor picked it up.
Players should do that more often. They know they're going down, just throw the ball out, and the player behind them can just jump on it. Touchdown.
But you can get assists, an assist bonus. Agholor, I think he's going to be startable in this matchup because the Seahawks secondary is riddled with injuries.
Deleted, yeah. Okay, cool. That ends our previews to the upcoming week. Moving into our British TV show game segment this week, The Weakest Link. So which player or position from a playoff-bound team is going to let their team down when it comes to crunch time in the playoffs? JP, over to you.
I've gone with someone who I don't think you're going to be very happy with.
Go on.
And Charlie, wherever he is, listening. I've gone with Carson Wentz.
Ooh.
Wow, that is bold.
I think...
MVP Carson Wentz.
Probably MVP Carson Wentz. I think when it comes to crunch time, and they're going to be in tough games, tough positions, which, I mean, it's his second year in the NFL. He's never played a playoff game before. He's going to be put in situations which he's never had to deal with. And I think that might just be the undoing of this amazing Eagle season so far.
On a similar note, give me Carson Wentz a week because I think that the Bortles effect of the Jaguars is a much more extreme version of that, where not only has he not played a playoff game, but he's been in the league for a hell of a lot longer.
And he's not very good.
And he's appalling. He can't throw a football. he can run. He ran for 60-odd yards and ran for 2 touchdowns last week. But he can't throw, which is his main job.
Are the Jags guaranteed playoffs?
It would have to go horrifically wrong for us not to get
God,
the playoffs.
God, I can only hope.
Did it not go horrifically wrong where you lost to the Cardinals last week?
I mean,
Titans also winning.
We are now joint top of our division, but in terms of the AFC playoff hunt, we are still 2 wins ahead of the next a team that's still in the playoffs.
Did you just wink at me in a rather menacing way?
I think I had a twitch.
Sorry to hear it. Greeny, who have you gone for?
So if you watched Sunday night, the Steelers v the Packers, you would have seen Jamal Williams run through the Steelers defense for like a long run and a rushing score. What that tells you is I think come playoff time, the Steelers will have a susceptible kind of linebacking core. They've got Ryan Shazier, who's kind of elite. But beyond that, I think they're going to suffer from injuries. And I think they're not going to be good enough to stand up against the likes of the Patriots and the Chargers.
Did you just predict injuries?
Predicting injuries.
The Steelers
you
have
know something
had...
about the water in Pittsburgh. Yeah.
The Steelers have suffered from Lev Bell getting injured, I think, multiple times in the playoffs, and they constantly
Benny Gary
have
Lewis.
Injuries.
Yeah, but he's not a linebacker.
No, but they constantly have injuries to their defensive
You're
and offensive core.
You're specifically predicting an injury to a linebacker. Are you...
No. Not Shazier. I'm just saying the team. I think
right,
they will struggle
okay.
from injury.
I like the really, really random... like guesses and picks. I think that's what we need more of.
There we go. If a linebacker gets injured before the playoffs, either we'll be very impressed with you or be very concerned that you've done something.
And all of the Pittsburgh fans will be very angry at me.
Yeah.
The top picks for week 13. This is where we all get to pick a quarterback, running back, wide receiver and tight end who we think is going to finish in the top 10, excluding players that are already kind of top 5 players. So quarterback, I'll kick us off with Kirk Cousins playing against the Dallas.
Kirk?
Is that not his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
I just said it weirdly in my head. Go on.
All right, sorry.
Moron.
Greeny?
Yeah, I really struggled to find good quarterbacks this week, good matchups. Unfortunately, I went quite easy. Phil Rivers against the Browns.
Bill?
What?
I think
Bill
you mean
Rivers.
Philip.
Yeah.
Charles?
I have also gone for Philip Rivers.
I knew JP? You two would. So safe.
Yeah, very
Come
boring.
Come on.
Very boring.
What do you mean? He's a...
I've gone for Mohamed Sanu. No.
I'm going with Mitch Trubisky.
Ooh. Okay. Who are they playing?
49ers. I mean, they're probably just going to run the ball the whole time with Howard, but let's go with someone a bit different.
I think if he gets a touchdown, he'll be having a good day.
So will I.
On that note, I've gone for Jordan Howard at running back against San Fran. That follows on from JP. Moving around the circle. Greeny?
Yeah, beast mode. Ooh, he's struggled to start the season. He wears defenses down, and he'll be good to finish the year.
Okay, fair dues. Charlesy.
I've gone for a less safe shout. I've gone for Isaiah Crowell. The Browns have not won a game, which doesn't lend to effective running. But I think he's kind of built up a bit of decent form. He got 95 yards last week, and the Chargers aren't the best at defending the run.
Is it a less safe shout when you pick the Chargers, who are like the 31st against the run?
But they've been better recently. So
They stuffed Alfred Morris over Thanksgiving. So
yeah,
but not Rod Smith.
We'll allow it. We'll allow it.
Yeah. So anyway, Crowell.
I've gone with Jamal Williams, the Packers running back.
The one that just got 30 points last week.
Yes.
Cool. No, safe.
Bit of tension.
Is it safe?
No, but it could be a good shout.
Well, we hope so. Then we can hear about it next week. Moving swiftly.
I'm looking forward to hearing your tight end, Charles. Me and Greeny have a bet on it.
Have a guess who it's going to be.
At wide receiver, I've gone for Marvin Jones, a player I picked up a few weeks ago. He's got a good run of form playing against the Baltimore Ravens. Greeny?
Yeah, I've gone slightly bolder. Paul Richardson. Never so they've got it. A hard game against the Eagles.
Seahawks wide receiver.
Oh, yeah,
although JP thinks, you know, Russell Wilson is a tanker, I think he just comes up with magic, and Richardson has been quite reliable.
Okay, good pick, Charles.
I've got Alshon written down, but because that's going to be accused of not being safe, or to being too safe, I'm going to go with Nelson Aguilar.
Okay, you mentioned him earlier, so fair enough. And JP?
I've gone with Cooper Kupp.
Ooh.
I think...
Posh boy.
Yeah, with Woods out, I think Kupp could step up.
Especially because you'd expect Patrick Peterson to be shadowing Watkins.
Peterson. At tight end, I've gone Kyle Rudolph against the Falcons. Don't know why. I don't really like him.
Well, he's a top five tight end at the moment, is he not?
No.
Maybe on the cusp.
Come on. Greeny, who have you gone for?
Yeah, I think Dak could have a slight bounce back from his negative games he's had the last 2 weeks. Jason Witten.
Okay, is Jack Doyle a tight end?
He is.
The same.
No, for the Colts.
Colts. Yeah. Both blue, similar. Charles,
I've gone for. Do you want to have a guess who I've gone for?
Is it the tight end?
Ricky
Seals
the
Browns
Lewis.
Or something?
Well, I can see you've written
Ricky
Hunter
Seals
Henry.
Lewis.
Charles, you just went on your phone to check something out. Were
Ricky
you changing
Seals
your
Lewis.
Pick?
No, Ricky Seals Lewis.
Seals Lewis? I thought it was not Ricky Seals-Jones.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
You've only just Googled it.
Ricky Seals-Jones.
It's completely void.
Ricky Seals-Jones, tight end for the Cardinals. He only played his first ever game two weeks ago and he's got 3 touchdowns in 2 games.
Not allowed. JP?
You were going with Hunter Henry, weren't you?
Of course I was.
I'm going with Jared Cook. He's playing the Giants, who shut down Vernon Davis last week.
Amazing.
The Raiders are going to be without Michael Crabtree, who's suspended. Cooper is in the concussion protocol.
Yeah.
So they're going to have to throw to someone. So
Cordarrelle Patterson, here
Jared
we go.
Cook.
Yeah, no, that's a good shout.
Good shout. Okay, well, that brings us to a close for this week.
Oh, I've got one quick trivia question before we go, if we have time.
Take us away.
There are 3 active NFL players who have scored 4 receiving touchdowns in a single game. Can you name any of them?
Antonio Brown?
No. Go on.
Larry Fitz?
Any of them obvious?
A couple of them. 2 of them are gettable, I think. The third one is...
Oh, Julio?
No.
Dez?
No.
Alshon?
No.
This is...
It's hard to
thoroughly entertaining.
Keenan Allen?
No. Caught definitely not.
Kenny Britt?
No. One is
Grunk.
One used to play one of them did
Jimmy
this
Grant.
Playing for the Bengals, but is no longer at the Bengals.
Sanu. Oh no. Okay, so it's Marvin Jones.
Correct.
I remember that game.
One of them did it for the Broncos and is no longer at the Broncos.
Edelman. No, wait, he wasn't there.
No.
Decker.
Correct. Decker.
Get in.
And one did it at the Chiefs and is no longer at the Chiefs.
Macklin.
No. This one's my favourite.
Would I have heard of him?
Yes, you would.
Is he at the Eagles?
No. But you're looking at him. Jamal Charles. That's running back, caught cool. four touchdowns in a
that's
single
amazing.
Game.
Good game.
So, yeah,
Matt.
There
that's
we go. That's,
Charles, you've redeemed yourself.
No more top. No more top three. No, but you can do trivia. Charlie's trivia.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been great to be back. Do tweet us at Brits_endzone. Email us on BritsEndzone@gmail.com or our website is BritsEndzone.com. I mean, I don't know.
And go visit our Instagram.
Send a lot of things there. Thanks to Jonathan DiMicelli for being on hands on the controls there. And we will see you again next week. It's good to be back.
Good to be back.
Glad to have you back.
And yeah, thanks.
What a laughing riot.
Unbelievable. Bye. Love it.